Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over.
I'm so proud of you.
Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. We believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle! How are you feeling? I am so excited. This is a very, very special Sunday. We're celebrating Baptism Sunday this morning. Hallelujah! We're about to see some lives change this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen? All right. If you're a guest in the house, I'm just going to explain what Baptism Sunday is really quick. When you get baptized, you go into the water one person, but you come out completely differently. And it's nothing about the water. It's not magic water. It's all about the posture of your heart, right? So even if you're not getting baptized this Sunday, you can still have a radical experience with God this morning right at the altar. So we are just so excited. If you're ready to receive what the Holy Spirit has for you this morning, go ahead and raise up your hands and just say, Jesus, I receive. Whatever you have for me, I receive this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Can I hear a shout of praise? Can I see you clap? How many of you know there's power in the name of Jesus? How many of you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah.
Yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, You are here. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, You are here.
Come on, declare, I will.
I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name.
Can I hear a shout if you're free this morning?
Oh. Overcome, we will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, You are here.
I will live,
I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. Name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Shaken in
This morning,
I hear the chains falling.
Oh, I hear the chains.
I hear the chains falling.
I hear the chains.
I hear the chains
falling. I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains.
Yes, sir.
Show us your glory. Show us your glory. guests in the house and you're really not sure exactly what's going on, we start talking about water baptism. Water baptism does not get you to heaven. But what water baptism does, Jesus never did anything without eternal purpose. When you're baptized, according to Romans chapter 6, it says your soulish man becomes restored. Now, we all know what happens in our soul. Those are the soul ties. Those are the soul wounds. We have been had broken hearts. And it doesn't matter whether you're a big, burly man or you're a small, petite lady. It doesn't matter who you are. Many people, most people, have had some level of wounds. They've had broken hearts and addictions and different things that seem to hold them in bondage. And water baptism, Jesus never did anything just for show, not to get wet. But he expected a supernatural experience. And what happens is when you're water baptized, there's a supernatural experience where God gets in your soul, starts to restore you. The Bible says receiving the engrafted word of God that saves, reupholsters your soul. And then all of a sudden those bondages that you had are broken off because it no longer has power in your life. So water baptism is powerful. And we don't just let people get wet. In fact, let me tell you, sometimes you saw me stand here for a little bit, hands laid on folk, and I wasn't moving quick. Well, why is that? Because some people need more restoring. And by the way, we don't want to do nothing without the presence of Jesus. Amen? And sometimes it just takes a little bit longer, you know, waiting on the Lord for him to move in our behalf. But you see, we just believe this because the Word declares this. How many of you believe the Bible? Amen. The Bible is so clear. And we want every Christian to be a whole person, spirit, soul, and body. Say that with me. Spirit, that's when you get born again. Soul, that's when you get water baptized. And body, that's what Jesus promised on Calvary's tree. Amen? So I want you to get ready. If you're sick in your body, I want you to lay hands on where you're sick right now. Father, I thank you for the anointing to heal the sick. There's the presence of God right there. I thank you for the anointing to set the captives free. Lord, I speak right now to every sickness and every disease that's in this room. Everyone that's watching by live stream, I declare in the name of Jesus, not in the name of a church or a name of a man, but at the name of Jesus, according to the covenant that you have cut with us, that every sickness and disease on a child of God, you have got to go. You have no place. You have no position. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. I rebuke right now disease. I rebuke right now sickness. I command maiming to be whole. I command wounds to be restored. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you that your covenant is yea and amen, and that God cannot lie. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. There was a woman that had to be carried and put in the water, and when she came out, she didn't walk away with this. She just walked up out of here. Yes! Jesus healed.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout. Now I know also I'm talking to the guests this morning. You're saying, boy, that's a rambunctious church. And you are absolutely correct. The reason we're rambunctious is because God's not dead, he's alive. Our God isn't some religious icon that sits up in the heavenlies and seems to merit our life. But our God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is intimately involved in every aspect of who we are. So you see, I've got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. And I'm here to testify and tell you about my wonderful reason to shout. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! Isn't God good? Now listen, we're going to have another water baptism in second service. This isn't even all the folks that are getting baptized today. And when you got baptized, maybe you were baptized as a baby, or maybe you were baptized and just got wet. but you did not have a supernatural experience, I would encourage you to sign up for the next water baptism. You need it. You need this. Well, I was baptized when I was a baby. That's all right. You didn't know it. You need to get baptized as an adult and know, especially, that God is restoring your soul. Amen. So I want to encourage you, make sure that if you've just got wet the last water baptism you were in, that you don't get wet anymore, but you can let God supernaturally change your life from the inside out. We love you. Head back to your chairs. Make sure you welcome at least 5 or 6 folks on your way back. Please make sure you welcome all the guests. Please don't just sit down. I just watched a bunch of old folks just sit right down on their high knees. Turn around and say, good morning, good morning, good morning.
When it comes to your personal life, the heavens are always open. He said, know this, I am going to be sitting there before the Father and say, Father, yes, all that may be true, but look, my blood has covered it all. Incredible opportunity for you to grow in your faith. It's called our Next Step Classes, and these will train you to grow each and every day. Each campus offers Next Step Classes, and if you would like to find out what's offered at your campus, go to histabernacle.com/next steps.
Turn to somebody next to you and say, God is awesome. And you have to say it the way I just said it. God is awesome. He is powerful. If you're not saying like that, then you just didn't get it, because God is awesome. We would like to welcome our live stream audience. We love you. It's so exciting to have you as a part of our family. We also would like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest in this house, we're going to ask you to be really brave. Just raise your hand. We have a gift for you. We would love to give you a packet. If you're a guest, raise your hand nice and high. We have some guest hosts that will come around and distribute those to you. Thank you for those that are sitting next to a guest that are raising your hands for them. I appreciate that. We have a guest reception right out here in this wing directly following service. It's an opportunity for us as pastors and leaders to be able to build relationship with you, because we are a relationship church, and so we want to honor you in that. So come right over, have some refreshments, join us, let us have an opportunity to meet you. We have a few announcements. The first announcement for tonight is that we have Rock Solid Faith graduation at 6 p.m. Please come out and support those that are graduating. They have been committed for over a year to developing their knowledge of Christ according to the Word of God. And so we want to recognize them. Also, our next baptism. How many of you are excited about our next baptism? Not just second service, but the one that's coming. Brittany, February 24th, is that correct? February 24th. Mark it on your calendar. Save the date. Put it on your refrigerator. Put a 3x5 card in your car, on the dashboard. Whatever you need to do to remember, you do not want to miss the power of God in your life. Take a hold of every opportunity to be in His presence. I would like to invite Pastor Rhonda to come up to bless us with our tithes and offerings.
Amen. Well, after what happened this morning, I'm just going to make this super brief. I had a great word prepared for you today on stewardship, especially in this season that we're entering into. But we're just going to preface it, because in this house, we're taught on tithe and giving every single week. So I'm just going to read the scripture, and we're going to stand up and make our supernatural declaration and give to the Lord. I do want to let you know we have our envelopes ready for our Christmas gifts for Jesus. In all of our giving this this season, let's not forget the most important person in our lives. Whatever it is that you can put aside for your gift for Jesus, we'll be taking that offering on Christmas Sunday. So go ahead and grab an envelope, take it home with you, pray and ask what God would have you to give, and bring back the most important gift that you'll give this season. So let me read the scripture. Leviticus 27:30 says, all the tithe of the land, whatever of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Amen. So in this house, we tithe, right? Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it simply says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Life in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. Overcome, yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here, carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome, yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not. Resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die, I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Praise God. That was a lot of baptisms. We have one more whole service for water baptism. It's going to be exciting. And again, we want to welcome all of our guests. Thank you so much for being here. We know it's very brave for a guest to come to the house of God for the very first time, and we want to honor you in that. Can you turn to someone and say, I want to encourage you to come at least three times. The reason three times is because your first time is like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Second time is like, oh, it's not. Third time is we've messed you up for life. You can't go back to the quiet church. Amen. Turn to someone and say, we can't go back to the quiet church. Amen. You know, one of the signs, actually, there's a whole book out there. It's called The Autopsy of a Dead Church. And what they did is they studied, I think it was 12 churches that closed their doors. At one time, we were running thousands of people, and now they're actually shut down. And one of the signs of a dying church was a quiet prayer meeting and a quiet service, where they lost the vision. No longer are they passionate about what God's passionate about. They just started becoming religious folk. And in this house, we refuse to become religious. Amen? We are just going to get a hold of loving Jesus more and more and more and more and more. I love loving God. We've been talking this whole year. This is the year of divine connections. We went over this whole process about how you and I are somebody's divine connection. And then we started 3 weeks ago on teaching about discipleship. Because it's not only just getting somebody saved, having them give their heart to Christ, but then discipling them and you and I being signs to them as good disciples. You see, what is a disciple? It's a pupil. It's somebody that's being trained by Christ. It's an individual that is an apprentice and a student of God himself. And we talked about the 12 disciples in the New Testament. Well, I want you to know you're part of the New Testament discipleship too. Turn to someone and say, you're a disciple. That's right. And we talked about signs that show that you and I are disciples. Because there is a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. There are folks that go to church that actually are good religious folk, and they think they're going to heaven but don't have a relationship with God and are not disciples of heaven. And what this little series is doing is allowing us to investigate our own life. How many of you know it's important to investigate your own life? A lot of people don't like to do that. It's easy. You ever seen somebody? They start looking at people and pointing out their problems. You been around somebody? Well, you know them. But very rarely does somebody who does all this pointing ever look at themselves. Amen? But the truth is that the Bible says, judge yourself first. You see, we need to judge ourselves. We need to look at ourselves, and we need to say, hey, listen, where is my life? So Christ has actually showed us in the scripture about what a true disciple is. It's not just somebody who says, I believe in God. There's everybody that believes in God. 80% of America says they believe in God. But you know, just because you believe in God doesn't mean you're going to heaven. The Bible says the devils believe in God and tremble, James chapter 1. So the devils believe in God, but they're not going to heaven. Just because someone believes in God does not mean they're going to heaven. Jesus made the declaration that there's only one name under heaven through which you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus. The Bible declares in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So salvation is not going to church. Salvation is not being religious. Salvation is not saying a prayer. It's what God's passion is, and that is a relationship with him. God wants you to know him. He already knows you, by the way, but he wants you to know him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to allow the word to change and challenge your life. Not only become a better person on this planet, but to be a disciple of heaven, to be an individual that has, as an ambassador, a call and a purpose and a destiny. Turn to someone and say, you have a purpose on this planet. That's right. You're not here just to suck air. You know, this is the problem. We have a lot of folks, and I'm talking even believers, that are very lost. Now, I'm not saying they're lost not going to heaven, but they're lost because they don't have a purpose in life. An individual that has no purpose has no direction. They're like a dog chasing their tail. Everybody has a purpose. God has pre-planned you. He has created you with specific gifts and talents. And you and I have not been born 200 years ago. You were born again for right now because God needs your life right now. You are a person of destiny. And because of that, there's a necessity of becoming a true genuine disciple of Christ. Now, we have talked about it a few weeks ago, how they've actually done studies. It's called the Barna study. And the Barna is the church statistician. And when he did the statistics, the believers and the unbelievers were about the same, except for like 2 to 3%. They acted the same, they talked the same, they went to the same places, they gave the same amount of money. Everything was pretty much the same, but 2 or 3% of the difference. So there has to be a greater chasm between us and the people of the world. Can I hear an amen? If we are like they are, why would they want the God that we serve? And if we serve truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then why are we acting like them who are not? So the mark of the disciple, number one, was lordship. That Jesus Christ is not just your Savior, but he is your Lord. That you're trusting him with your life. That you've given him the right to rule your life. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Both of those are verses, by the way. And it's God declaring that if you make him your Lord, then you will find that God will trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That you can trust your life with God. Man, when you start making him your Lord, then we go to a level of learning obedience. Turn to someone and say, I said learning. That's right, because obedience is learned. Can I hear an amen? Amen. How many of you learned harder than others? How many of you, your heinies, are calloused? Glory to God. You know, I learned a little harder than other people. Somebody once said to me, you know, stubborn people are so bad. And I'm thinking, no, they're not. They're awesome, because if you can get them in the right direction, there's nothing they can't do. They'll never go back. We got to learn obedience. And obedience is powerful. When you've made Jesus your Lord, you will obey. But today what I want to talk about as a mark of obedience and a mark of a true disciple is that you obey not because you have to. You obey because you A lot of people have a great concept of their own God. They've made God their own creation. But God is not determined by how you and I think. I feel like I'm all by myself. We don't have the right to write our own Bible. This is not our own philosophical idea. God is God whether you like him or not. God is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords whether you like it or not. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, whether you like it or not. Somebody said to me, well, I don't believe the same way you believe. Well, listen now, I'm just believing the Bible. So listen, it has nothing to do with me. You're taking that up with Jesus. You see, we've got to get back to understanding the reason that we're here is that God has a purpose and a destiny for us. And when we take the lordship of our own lives, then God can't direct our path. That's why many of us have now participated with harvests that we don't like. You've planted the seeds of your own lordship. And now you're getting the harvest not of heaven and not of God's blessing, but of cursing and of circumstance that you created yourself. See, if you don't want the harvest that's in your life, then you need to plant different seeds. Can I hear an amen? If you don't like the plants that you're getting, you got to plant the right plant. You got to get the right seed in the ground. And that is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And because he's Lord, we will obey. And we obey not because we have to, but we obey because we love him, because he first loved us. How many of you know you were kind of unattractive before you got saved to God? How many of you sinned once in your life? Twice? Three times? In your whole life? Four times? How many of you were just foul, foul people? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Amen? Everybody goes like this. Shoof. The Bible says in 1 John, if you say you haven't sinned, you're a liar. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, according to Romans. We've all sinned, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Our God loves us with an everlasting life, love. And this is where you and I were really learning this principle called discipleship. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23 says this, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. And that's where I get kind of squirmish. Not for me, because I know where I am personally, but it scares me at times when I watch people live whatever way they want to live and they expect that God is going to take them to heaven. And I want you to realize that's just not true. I think honesty is important. I think for you to hear the truth is what makes you free. You and I don't have the right to live any way we desire and expect to go to heaven. Because you believe in God doesn't get you to heaven. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. John 3:3. Here we are as believers. We've got to recognize that not everybody who cries out, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. What determines whether we're going to heaven or not is this. Is the determination is, have we made him Lord? Are we obeying him? Not because of rules and regulations, but because we truly love him. See, that is one of the biggest deterrents to many unbelievers. They look at the church and it's a bunch of rules and regulations. Well, I can't drink anymore, and I can't smoke anymore, and I can't cuss anymore, and I can't. Well, I want you to know that's not true. I can if I want to, but I choose not to because I love God. See, that's the shift that has to happen in the mindset of a true disciple. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's not if you love me and you don't, I'm going to damn you. It's that you and I are actually revealing when we're not going to live a life of obedience that we actually don't love God. Woo! That got quiet. Amen. It's true. That's right. We like that in this church. It's important to recognize that you and I are the ones that are determining whether we go to heaven or not, not God. God has already determined he wants you to go to heaven. He sent his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. Every one of us, God has a desire. God's will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, I'm popping off already about 15 verses. I want you to hear me now, because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, and the bone and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's word is alive. He said, my word is life, and God is giving you life this morning, enough faith this morning to be saved, because the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God is calling you and I to make him Lord, to trust him enough not just to get to heaven, but that he can determine where our life is going to be and which way it should go to bring us the greatest happiness that he desires us to have. For the Bible says the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. You can't have abundant life if you've not made him your Lord. On Judgment Day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesy in your name, cast out devils in your name, perform many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. I want you to hear me now, it's because it's powerful. Religion will always damn you. Because religion is demanded obedience to fulfill man's law. When you and I truly trust and love Jesus, we step into a life of obedience because of love, not because of mandate. Because I love my wife, I don't throw water on her in bed every morning. Now, I didn't say I have never done that. Dude, I got up one morning at like 4 a.m. and I said, today is the day. Now, you know, this was early in my marriage. And she was sleeping and I pulled all the covers back right off the bed and went, shwa. She got up very quickly. And I do want you to know she didn't cuss. But all the benefits were not there for a while. Now watch. Sometimes we mess up. Amen? So we had family breakfast on Friday morning, and Ron and I were, you know, kind of fun bickering all morning long. You know, she's kind of argumentative. So here we are, we're at Friendly's with the family, right? And you know, do you ever notice that Friendly's has like really serious glasses of water? They're not like, they're like, and they're filled with shaved ice. So my mother was sitting across from my wife was sitting right next to me, and my mother was poured her coffee, put some sugar in, and she was looking for a spoon, so I reached over and up,
and I hit Rhonda's glass. And it went down, down. Covered her leg, went all over her hiney, filled her boot, filled her purse. Thank God she laughed and didn't kill me. But you know, I looked at her and I said, I'm really sorry, seriously. I wasn't kidding. Why? Because I love her and I didn't want to make her upset. I made her upset because of a bad decision. Never play spoons with your mother. But it wasn't intentional, like going out and trying to hurt her. You see, there are times we choose sin and it's because of our foolishness. But we're not out to hurt God. A true mark of a disciple is that we live a life of obedience because we love him, because he first loved us. That love that you have for Jesus is what deters us from sin. Not because you can't, but because you choose not to, because you don't want to hurt the one that you love the most. You see, this is the very true mark of a disciple. I want to please God. I want to make God happy. Not because I'm afraid he's going to fry me. Not because he's going to strike me dead. But because God truly, genuinely loves me with an everlasting, uncompromising love. And he's loved me through my mess. In fact, he loved me before I knew him. And he still cares. Now, how many of you think about that? You know, you look at your life, what you were, and God still loved you enough to come after you. The Bible says, for you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You see, the truth is that you didn't choose God. He chose you. God came after you. He said, you can't even be drawn unless the Spirit draws you. You see, even today, the very hunger you have in your heart for the Lord, or the lack thereof, and this is why when people say to me, I can be saved anytime I want, they're delusional, because you can only be saved when you're being drawn. So here we are as believers, man. We've got to pay attention to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, don't neglect so great a salvation. Neglect means you're not spending time with them. I remember one time coming into my house, and it was back probably about, we had started this church probably 15 years ago. I walked into the house at like 10 p.m. at night, and my wife was sitting on the couch. I had done counseling and ministry to other people. And my wife said, maybe you should go back to your church. I went, oh, that's not good. I said, what's wrong? She goes, listen, you're never here. You might as well just go back with your church people. I went, okay, we got a problem. I said, get your clothes on. We're going for a date. That night, that's when Regal was used to be open past 10 p.m. That night, my wife and I, we went to the movies and had some popcorn and spent time with each other. And you know what? It met a need in her life. You see, this is why so many of us, we don't feel that love for God because we don't spend any time for God. When you love somebody, you spend time with them. When you love somebody, you spend time with them. In fact, I'm going to tell you your core values of your entire life. Don't tell me what you believe. Judge it by these two core values. It's where you spend your time and your money. That's what you really believe is most important in your life. So if you spend no time with God, then you don't love God, then it's easy to disobey God. Because you've not made him your Lord, you've made him your friend and your Savior. He is your friend and your Savior. John chapter 15, for I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. But our lordship with Jesus Christ and our obedience in Jesus Christ is not because he's a hard taskmaster, but because he is generating love towards us and wants the best for us. He has a benevolent heart towards us. He wants you to be successful in all things that you do in your life. And that comes because God so loved the world that he gave. God loves you. God desires you. God is passionate over you. And when we live this lifestyle, everything shifts. Because as a disciple, it's not because I have to serve him. I want to serve him. It's not that I have to obey him. I want to obey him because I genuinely love God. When you genuinely love somebody, you don't go out to hurt them. So this is where the body of Christ needs to understand this principle of discipleship. The Bible declares in Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 40, and Jesus said unto them, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And this is the great and the foremost commandment. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love goes in three different directions. Number one, it's got to go to God. Number two, you got to love yourself. And you'll love yourself and you'll love other people through that. See, we have a whole generation now that doesn't even know themselves, never mind love themselves. And some people love themselves because of who they are, not because who God has made them to be. See, when you truly, genuinely understand the love of God and you start understanding the love of yourself, you see, there's no good thing in me. The Bible declares that there's not one good thing. No, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Even the people that are the most benevolent people on this planet, if they're not doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a reason they're doing it that's behind the scene. Whether it's making themselves feel good, whether making themselves feel righteous, whether no matter what the truth is that everybody has their own desire. When we put our desire in the Lord and we choose to please him and we recognize who we are in Christ, then we love other people not because of who we are, but because of who God has made us to be. Great example. When you go to the apple orchard, you don't run over and look at the bark. You are the prettiest tree I've ever seen. Your bark is so beautiful. I'm going to pick your bark. Nope. You don't walk over to a limb and say, boy, that's the prettiest limb I've ever seen. I'm going to break it off and take it home. Now, that would be my wife's Christmas tree besides that. No, she likes Charlie Brown trees. I like the big monster trees. And so we settled that artificial tree this year. That was my daughter-in-law. I want you to see that love is this. Without it, you really have nothing. And if you love only the way a human can love, you still have nothing. Because if we're all going to be honest, we all do what we want to do to get something from somebody else. Well, that's not true. You've heard religious folks say, well, I don't give to get. You're a liar. Come here, Ted. Ready? Do you want to shake your hand? I reached my hand out for what reason? I wanted yours. I'm smiling at you. Why? Because I want you to smile back. Do you want to know something? We all want something from somebody. And don't lie. Some of you came to church for a reason today. Actually, y'all did. Some to shut somebody up. Wow! Thank you. Some because you felt guilty about your week's experiences and you wanted to feel justified. Some because it fulfilled some religious obligation that you were trained in as a child. And some of you because you just couldn't get to wait, you couldn't wait to get here to lift your hands and worship your God with the whole family. But whether you like it or not, everybody came for a reason. Everybody walked in this room with wanting something. Y'all wanted something. I came to church today to preach the word of God. And what did I want? I wanted you to show up. When I pray because I want something. If you don't want something when you pray, then why are you praying? When you get in your car to drive, you're driving for a reason. Why? Because you're going to get something. You want to be somewhere. It's all about you and I wanting. Human love is driven by that. The problem with human love is it's flawed in the utmost. The love that you and I can give, no matter how benevolent, no matter how kind you are, there's still a motivation behind it. Amen. But God's love is different from our love. And this is why spending more time with Him, making Him your Lord, living a life of obedience, is not because God's trying to get something from you, but because God is trying to give you something. You see, because when you learn how to obey God, the blessings of God overtake you. When you choose not to obey God, it's not that God loves you any differently, but God's blessing cannot follow you if you've cut it off yourself. So love is the absolute motivation of heaven. Love is the drive of our God. God, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, God is love, but not human love. It is the love that you hear always read at weddings. Are you ready? Can you quote it with me? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. You know, that's what I love about God. When God forgives you, He says, I throw your sin as far as the east and the west and does it. I don't even remember it anymore. So every time you bring up that past sin that you've already been forgiven for, God goes, what? It does not rejoice with injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never gives up. Love never gives up. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. And this is why I love the true agape love of God, because our God never gives up on us. Can I hear an amen? Our God never walks away from us. Can I hear an amen? You might walk away from God, but God has never walked away from you. Man, if the moment that you call upon His name, He will be there. I want to prove this to you. If you've never read the book of Joshua, read how many times the children of Israel rebelled against God. They went into captivity, but the moment they called out, God sent a deliverer. God loves you. If nobody else on this planet loves you without a string attached, God does. Man, you can't, no greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus laid his life down for you because He loves you. If you've never felt love, I want you to hear me now. If you've never felt genuine love, God genuinely loves you. He truly loves you in your mess. Listen, I've got great news for you. God can't love you any more now than when you were in hell. He doesn't love you anymore now that you're born again, than the person who's been sleeping around all night long, been drunk, and smoked two or three blunts. He doesn't love you any more than them. God loves nobody any differently. He loves us all the same. That's why religion tries to get you to obey, not because of love, but because you're trying to gain His approval. But when you genuinely love God, you don't obey because you have to. You obey because you love Him, honor Him, respect Him, and you want to please Him because He is your God, not because you're afraid of Him. Amen. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Amen. I'm almost done. You see, love is not just about you and I getting it from God, but about you and I giving it. Many believers in today's Christian society do nothing for God. What do I mean by that? You've received love, but you give no love. The reason God gave you gifts was for you to show love. So let your light so shine before men that they see your good works bringing glory to God, is what Matthew says. You see, when you and I genuinely love God, it's a domino effect in our life where all of a sudden we're going to start loving people, not because we have to, but because it's the nature that we are. You see, when your nature is that of your Father, for God so loved the world that he gave, when the nature is of our Father as a God of love, then we will automatically love other people. That's why the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When you start to learn the love because you're in relationship with God, because you're a true disciple, you're in his presence, you're in his word, you're soaking in the glory of God, you're spending time with him, you're listening to him, you start obeying him. Not because you have to, but because you love him. And then all of a sudden, because the love of God is being manifest in your life, all of a sudden now, man, you take a sponge, you get it in water, and you squeeze it, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to soak up whatever it's in. If it's death, it's going to soak up death. If it's life, it's going to soak up life. Whenever you are in the presence of the Lord, you're only soaking up life. So therefore, when anybody squeezes you, what are they supposed to get? People get love from those who've been around love. Amen? And this is where you and I determine our relationship with the Lord. This is why it's called discipleship. You cannot be a student, you cannot be a pupil if you're not around your teacher. We ask you to come to church not because we're trying to mandate it to you, because we want you to be here, because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. The more you're in the word, the more you're going to what? The more you're going to obey him, not because you have to, but because you love him. And because you love him, the more you're around him, now anybody squeezes the sponge is going to get love. Now I go to church. You ever been around somebody like that? Hey, I heard you're a Christian. Yeah. I love God. They have that automatic droop in their smile. Why? Because they're miserable inside. Don't tell me you love Jesus. But you cannot be around love, the joy of the Lord being your strength, and walk around miserable. I said that with a smile. Did you notice that? You see, everything that we have with God as disciples is not based upon mandate, but because of love. He loves you. And because he loves you, we love other people. And this is why God's calling you to do more than sit on your hiney. I've never seen in the Bible called hiney ministry. Hi, what do you have? Hiney ministry. Where do you hiney ministry? Well, in the second row. Third seat over. Someone better not steal my hiney ministry. Give and it shall be given unto you. Press down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom. Not just money, but love. I was in a place the other day, and I'll end with this. And I just genuinely love God. I love spending time with him. In fact, I was late to prayer this morning because, and Rhonda was, we were both late because we got up at 5:15, the alarm goes off. I get up, I make the coffee, bring her down a cup of coffee, and then I go to the man cave. Thank God, the man cave's almost done. I go to the man cave and pray and seek the Lord. Just spend time with him. It's not like, oh, cold in hand. I mean, I sing, and I sing horrible, but he's okay with it. And I talk to him, and I ask him questions, and I ask him things, and then I get into the word, and I'm spending time with him. Not because I have to, but because he's my Lord, but he's my Savior, and he's my friend, and he's my guide, and I'm talking to him and having a relationship with him. And so the other day, I'm at this place, and I was at a store, and the lady looked at me, and she goes, listen, I need what you got, because I'm happy. And I said, well, I got Jesus. Boy, she shut right up real quick. Are you contagious? Oh, we all are contagious. But what kind of bug you carrying? You see, when you love people, you're a magnet, because
love is lost in this world. Everyone's looking for the string attached. But with Jesus, there's only one string. It's called heaven. It's called relationship. It's called genuine, uncompromising love. And the only hand to give is your hand and mine. The only life to show is through the life of the disciples. When the disciples were arrested one time for healing the man, they brought him before the Pharisees and Sadducees, and this is what they said. We recognize they're uneducated, but we can tell they've spent time with Jesus. Can someone tell through your love that you spent time with Jesus? Are you contagious? Yes. What bug are you given? Father, I thank you so much for loving us. Oh, Lord, some may have been in deeper sin than others, but Lord, it all did the same thing, and that is damned us. Thank you that you loved us, Father God, so much that you came after us. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you saved us when we called on your name. Thank you, Father, you love us so much that you don't want to leave us the same, but you want to heal us, transform us, make us like your son who lived a life of change for people. I thank you that this morning, God, you've given us divine purpose and reason for living. Lord, I thank you for those that are hearing my voice because faith is being released. And Lord, now they have enough faith to call upon your name. Every man's been given a measure of faith. But even now, the Holy Spirit is starting to draw you. Some of you want to run. But some of you, you're not sure what to do. You just know you want what I'm talking about. It's called love. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never made him your Lord, and today you want to make a choice. It's a conscious choice. It's not joining a church, not joining a religion. I want God. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want him in your life, I want you to put your hand right up in the air right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Who cares what anybody thinks or what anybody says? You stand before the judgment of God all by yourself. They can't give you the love that you need. Is there anyone? I'm not going to wait real long. Is there anyone here this morning that needs Jesus Christ as their Savior? Come on, get your hand up. I'm going to count down real quick. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, 2. Come on, get your hand up. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you so much for coming. I want to thank the guests for being here. I really do encourage you to come 3 times. You're going to find it's not that boring. You're going to leave here encouraged. You're going to leave here blessed. You're going to leave here challenged. Here's my question for you. We're coming into the Christmas season. Will you show the love of Jesus to somebody as a disciple of God? Go out of your way. Maybe you're at Walmart. Buy something for somebody. Listen, you want to have fun? Your greatest enemy, buy them a gift. No, seriously. The Bible says you pour coals of fire upon their head. That's just fun anyways. I love going when I go to Starbucks. I love paying for the person in front of me and behind me. And I always tell them, Jesus loves you. Boy, that doesn't sound like a lot, but who gives kind things today anyways? Man, when you're kind, you blow people away. When you smile, here's a really fun one. Go around and smile at people this week. They'll go like this. Because people don't smile anymore. Come on now. The love of God is contagious. Be contagious this week. Show as a disciple of the Lord that you are a person that truly, genuinely loves individuals. And God will bless you in all that you say or do. I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, that we'll be witnesses all through this season. And Lord, for the rest of our lives, for the glory of God, keep us safe. Bless us in Jesus' name. The prayer teams around the front of the altar. We love you. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your heart. Oh.